Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment from yesterday. I learned long ago that those who are the happiest are those who do the most for others. We've probably all encountered martyrs. They give and give, but the giving is done at such obvious cost to the giver that there's guilt rather than joy in receiving what's given. So how does one find happiness in doing for others? Perhaps the secret is in removing attention from oneself, from ego, and giving that attention to someone else. And perhaps that shift of attention is possible for us when we are fulfilled. When we're fulfilled, we're happy, and it's easy to be generous when we're happy. Today, look to see what gets between you and that happiness.
Good assignment, huh?
It was a fantastic assignment. All right. So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Hi. It's Anna from Yorkshire in the UK.
Well, hello there.
Hello. We've got beautiful weather here. I'm unexpectedly off this afternoon, so it's all good. It's all good.
There's not much getting in the way of your happiness, right?
No, there isn't. And I've been practicing it all day, and it is amazing. So at work, there's lots of issues and all sorts going on, lots of politics and things. And I realized that I'd been, you know, being dragged down with it. And so when I went in this morning, I was determined to look at gratitude and to be thankful. And it's so easy. It is so easy. And then all the other people around me were smiling too.
and it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Were they before and I just didn't notice, and it, and or it, was it contagious, and or what?
I don't
but
know.
But then we don't worry about it. We just stick with the, oh, it's wonderful. We're all smiling. Yay.
Yes. So it's been fantastic. Yeah. So I've been practicing a little bit more with the quote and the assignment today. And just one thing that I think about whenever I see this quote every year is so I'm always drawn. I always want to make artwork, and I've always had a battle with that. You know, you should, you shouldn't, and then the training that I received and trying to get rid of aspects of that training and things like that. And one of the single things that has helped me over the years is it's not about me, it's about others, and it does, and it's. So sometimes I've been through, it's self-centered, you shouldn't be doing this. But then I've got to, well, it makes me feel happy, so that's a good thing. And then when I've thought, how is this serving others? I've thought, well, I always put it out there, and sometimes I'm a bit slow, but I always get it on the internet. And then I think, well, it's not just about me expressing me, it's about anybody expressing anything. And getting out of the conversation, and also, and kind of like when I finished a piece of artwork, that's it. And it wasn't really, and I do go with, well, that was life, and it wasn't really anything to do with me, and that's done now. And so that's, I don't know, that's sort of how it fits with me and service. And then just one other thing to add to that is the job role that I've ended up in for my main job, I don't know how I ended up in it, and at first I didn't like it. And I've been doing it for 6 years now, and it's working with students with learning disabilities within education, and it's helping them access their courses. And I've been realising very recently that I really like my job.
Uh-huh.
And it really, you know, and that is a job. It's so obvious to anybody. It's like, well, that person is helping that person. So, yes, I'm surprising myself.
Well, two things about that. One, with the art, if nothing else ever happened from it except it makes you happy. That is a, as we've established, that's a tremendous contribution, right? And the second part about your job, so I was one of those kids with those learning disabilities, and when I was in school, there weren't any people like you.
No.
If there had been people like you, my life would have been very, very different. Not that I have a single complaint about my life, but I am certainly grateful for all the kids who come into the world with those kinds of difficulties when they have somebody like you. Talk about a gift and service. My God.
Yeah, and I mean, and we have a ball. We truly do. So at the very beginning, I was like, how can I do this? This is hard. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't understand this young person. I don't know how to relate. This is over me, over my head, you know. And we just have, we have a great time. We have a laugh. So, yeah.
That's wonderful.
So,
well,
yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Anna. I just, you know, Sherry, those kinds of conversations really move me because we're so conditioned to believe that our happiness does not count, that if we're happy, that's something selfish.
Yes.
And to have a gift such as expression or a way by which life expresses itself, knows itself as creative and expressive and is able to create in that way, and that for that to be used against us as something that is selfish, it's just so wonderful when we wake up and realize that expressing life, expressing that life force is just an extraordinary gift to the world in that it gives us permission to be happy and it gives everyone else that too.
Yeah, that whole notion of when you're fulfilled, you're happy and generous, right? Because we're grateful. And when we're grateful and happy, we're generous, and there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, that the pursuit of fulfillment is, not just the pursuit, but the having of what we, the receiving of what we are is the greatest gift. Because it puts us in the best position to be able to be of service.
Yes, exactly.
And I think
and
that's
so
what
I would go with your original phrasing, pursuing fulfillment. Because when our eyes are on presence, you know, being, letting that butterfly of happiness land on us, when we're living in gratitude, then that we are pursuing what we have to offer the world. And so to be in constant pursuit of that seems like a completely noble and selfless ambition.
Yes, it's a reframe of ending suffering. It's pursuing fulfillment.
Yeah. That's great. That's big, huh?
It's really big. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Colin here, also in the United Kingdom.
Well, we're hearing from our friends across the waters this morning. It's lovely. What are you seeing, Colin?
I was just getting very happy today, and you know, in connection with that thing, just seeing, you know, the light shining over here, and because of what you're all doing over there, there's a lot of happiness happening over here. So thank you for that. It's just seeing that it's a privilege really to be part of this Project Joy, and you know, wanting to participate in that, and I'm really grateful for everything that everybody contributes to that, and. Yeah, I just think it's amazing the way that light kind of shines around the world and has an influence here. So anyway, today I got really happy cutting the grass. I was anchoring the attention on the breath, and it just seems that you can sort of let go of the ego, and it kind of frees me up to attend well, to attend to the task that I was doing, really, and not doing it for me, but cutting the grass for the grass, and just sort of doing the best I could for the grass. And, I'm going to put some stripes on that, just for the grass. I'm going to make it look really, you know.
A little personality. Let it be expressed. Yes.
Yes, and just doing the edges nicely, and I just got really happy doing it, and it was just felt that I was a place of generosity that coming to centre and attending to the breath, it just freed me up to be able to give that and do that for the task. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very blissful and enjoyable thing that happened today. So
and Colin, if I may, that's such an expression of the unselfishness. So one of the ways that we've talked about this for years is you wash the car for the car, you know, not wash the car because it's an extension of me and people will think whatever they think based on whether my car is clean or dirty, but washing it as an act of love for the car, of appreciation and gratitude, and you want it sounds so crazy until you have the experience, but you want it to have that same experience of being loved and appreciated and cared for that we all want for ourselves, right? And in doing that, that's the experience we have, and that's again the avenue to the fulfillment. Oh gosh. Got some technology stuff going here. That's the pathway to the fulfillment. Ashwini, are you hearing all that?
I am.
I wonder if we lost you. Colin, are you still there?
No, I'm still here. Yes.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I got that, yes.
Okay. Huh. All right. Well, here we all are. Go ahead with what you were going to say.
Well, it was like being in love with the grass, really, and that experience of unconditional love, really. It struck me, I'm just doing like something quite ordinary, really, and just getting really happy doing that because of that process of love that's available. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Talk about hidden in plain sight, right? The secret to our happiness is in loving everything that we're doing. Who would have thought that was the secret to the universe?
So thank you so much for that. It was really great, and I really enjoyed this and got very happy. So thank you very much for that. Really,
you're very welcome. I'm happy. I'm getting happy just listening to you talk about it. So it's continuing to work. Thank you, Colin.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Colin. It's truly that line from the assignment about giving, that when we don't give anything to ego and we give everything we've got to something else, the task at hand or a creation of art or talking to someone at work, then we are happy because that is that's all it takes, that shift of attention.
Yes. Yeah. And so there's no circumstance that prevents us. There's nothing that can stop us from having a completely fulfilled life. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly so.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol. I decided to put myself in the queue this morning because it feels a lot better than not being in the queue and kind of going, oh, I shouldn't have done it. Yeah, so here I am.
Here you are. Very good, very good.
What do you see? Right? What am I seeing? Oh, tons and tons and tons of stuff. Let's see. Well, I wanted to call it. Well, I just left the monastery yesterday because I hurt my back and I needed to do some things to support it. And so I wanted to call in this morning just to kind of reaffirm to myself that I'm part of Sangha. So here I am.
Well, and if I may, as an act of generosity to us, so that we know that you're okay.
Yes, I am okay. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah,
I am.
So that's very, yeah, very, very good and helpful.
Right, and I'm seeing, you know, so leaving part of it is, oh, thank heaven, you know, there's no bugs, there's no mosquitoes, you know, and I can get the kind of food I want. But then after that comes sadness for not being able to be there anymore. And what's come to me is, well, I'll just continue my practice, you know, my deepening practice. And I love the schedule of the monastery, so I can continue to do that as well. And
yes. Well, and may I suggest something else?
Yes, please.
All right. So knowing at a tender age that I wanted to devote my life to practice, I have devoted myself to staying in a physical condition that will enable me to do that, that will allow me to do that. And
yeah,
so the commitment is whatever it takes to be fit enough and strong enough to be able to practice as much as life allows me to practice.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that that will be a huge part of your focus going forward, and to use it as an opportunity to open to everything that life drops in for you, practitioners and practices and processes, and not just go down the road of, well, I'll go see my doctor, and then that doesn't work, and so, oh, well, I have to give up. But never, ever, ever to give up on yourself.
Never, ever to give up, yeah. I thought what I do today is I'm going to set my timer for like four different times in the day, and check in with my body, how's it doing at the end of the evening, you know, review all that as well, because it's so easy to say, oh, you know, I'm strong, I could do this, you know, I don't need to pay attention to that. So it's just a great thing to come away with that, you know, oh, okay, tend your body, you know, I'm going to take care of you. So I'm grateful for that.
Yes, and I'm going to help you get as strong and fit and able as you can possibly be, so you get to participate in everything that life offers.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, keep us posted.
I will. Thank you. Bye, Sherry. Bye, Sherry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sarah. Take care.
And it's such a clarion call having I was looking at something this morning about how pain is a signal to become aware. Because if everything is going well, then we tend to be lulled into unconsciousness. And so not to be, I'm not trying to be masochistic or anything. I always get confused. But anyway, not to seek pain, but to know that that is a place of such tremendous awareness.
Mm-hmm. Opportunity.
Opportunity for awareness.
Yep.
There was stories of Ananda, right, the disciple of Buddha who was with him all his life, who was weeping the day he died. And he was chastised by all his fellow monks to say, well, the Buddha died fulfilled. Why are you crying? And he said, well, I'm crying because I was with him all his life and I never awakened. And so he sat all night and was awakened the next morning. But that ability to know that this is the opportunity to actually become aware.
Yeah.
And to go with it, not give up like conditioning would say to do.
Yeah, not see it as a punishment, not go into conditionings, oh, poor me, now I can't, but all right, I'm here to help, I'm here to serve, and here is somebody who needs me to be present and attentive and compassionate and kind and supportive and mentoring, and it's wonderful practice for me to be all of the things that it's possible for me to be and all of the things that I've always wanted for somebody whose experience I know intimately.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and especially if it's physical, right? There's such a conditioning to become small rather than
yes.
committed to what I can do to actually strengthen my body and make it fit
mm-hmm.
to practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's how it wants to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Linda Joy.
Hey, Linda Joy.
Okay. Hi. I'm going to see you guys next week, and I'm really excited about that. I'm coming to the Project Joy. I've heard everyone talking about the fear, and I'm thinking, oh, I get to look forward to joy.
Yes, although I will say that was a joyful bunch of people by the end of the fear retreat. So,
from what I heard,
we do our best to get there, whatever the subject matter.
Yeah. Well, I want to share
don't believe Carol. Those voices were telling her tales about mosquitoes. I'm pretty sure we don't have any mosquitoes here. I don't know
oh.
what that is.
Well, you know what? We can deal with them if they come around.
That's right.
I've been there before, and I just love it. I'm so looking forward to it. I am seeing something, and it's so interesting because this morning I was sure I wasn't going to get on, and the couple of times I did get on, I got on with thinking I really didn't have anything to say. And this morning there was something I kind of wanted to share, although I know that everybody's voices say everything that's needed each day.
Mm-hmm.
I always give such thanks and gratitude for that. But one of the things I'm seeing is, you know, Jesus talked about do unto others, and every religion in the world has some form of that, you know, golden
mm-hmm.
rule. And mm-hmm. I've always, you know, I've lived believing that very deeply, you know, and the last couple of weeks we've had a lot of the do for others and the one that be kind or be good to others, and we do treat others as we do treat ourselves. All this
yes.
has come brought up for me. What is missing? Because I do this, I believe this, and Sherry, you know what's come up for me is that I do not, deep down, I don't think I deserve love. And
mm-hmm.
as a result of that, how can we give with our full hearts?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so looking forward to spending time away with you, all of you, next week with this. I feel like I'm carrying this.
This need to
truly go there more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, deep inside
mm-hmm.
and to cherish and know that I'm a precious being. And
expression of life.
It, yes. And why does that selfishness
mm-hmm.
come up when I try to treat myself that way? I hurt my foot a few weeks ago. And, you know, I've lost 60 pounds in the last year. And
oh,
I've done it through knowing that I need to care for my body if I want to be, you know, aware and awake. I want to also be fit. And I just so related to what you just shared, you know, in the
mm-hmm.
to the previous caller, because I feel like, yes, I've kind of got to that space. But the part it just comes up for me in the readings this past week is that you're not loving yourself. How can you give it to other people? I try to do grief work, and I'm in to this and that, and something holds me back. There's something I feel like.
I can tell you what it is, and you know what it is, and you know what I'm going to say. It's ego.
Yeah.
And so the thing that we can do, and yes, we'll practice it when you're here. The thing that we can do, rather than getting to that place, so you get to that little juncture, and there is information that says, but you don't deserve love. You're not loving yourself. You're not, okay? And instead of going, oh, no, that can't be the answer. No, I'm doing something wrong. It's, okay, there's the layer of ego that I have just uncovered.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it true? Mm-hmm. No, it's not true. Do I believe it? Yeah, I'm believing it. So this is where I'm working right now. Okay, so it's not a failure to get to those places. It's a success. It is what we're doing in awareness practice. And the thing that ego does to us, which you're experiencing, is we get to that place and we hear the voice say, and this is true and this is real and you're stuck and it's hopeless.
Uh-huh.
And almost everybody goes, oh, yeah, okay, well, that's all right. Well, that's it for me. But in awareness practice, we recognize that as a process, and we just now we hunker down.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where I'm going to take on ego currently.
And this is what I'm trying to do with it, because I have a good practice. I meditate daily for the last few years, and what I'm reminding myself today is be present.
That's right.
See
and
it,
you wouldn't be in this place if you didn't have a practice.
Yeah. True.
Right?
True.
It
Absolutely.
Would have remained under the radar, and you would have never known that there was that belief down there. But you've been digging down, and so you hit it.
Yeah, notice the feelings, honor them, feel them, and let them go is what I affirm for myself, you know, when I get to these spaces.
Yeah.
And to
realize how much of the feeling, and this is part of where we're just looking out of the corner of our eye watching it, how much of the feeling is ego, an ego takeover, where ego wants to hear that message and go, oh, yeah, this is really hard. This is too much. Usually followed by, you should quit. Okay,
uh-huh.
So you're not gonna do that. And so it's really keeping an eye on that process rather than getting caught up believing that the feelings are legitimate.
Yeah.
Because
and
when you're disidentified,
so much more deeply. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but when you're disidentified, you know those feelings don't have anything to do with you. You know there's no truth to that.
True.
It's only when we're identified with ego. So that's our opportunity. Aha, so here's an ego takeover. Uh-huh,
mm-hmm.
I'm identified with ego. What does that feel like? What does that look like? And poof, you're out. Oh, shoot. I was just getting a good look at it, and I popped out. All right, well, it'll be back. Not to worry.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I can't wait to see you guys next week. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ashwini?
Oh, I was muted by mistake. I was just saying thank you, Linda Joy.
I just had a little moment of panic. I don't know how to get out of this without Ashwini. So, don't please don't go away.
No,
all right, here we
but
are.
I really wanted to. We have 2 minutes, and I'm not sure I could get another caller in, so I will indulge myself and say what's coming up for me, which is that place of we recognize. Life gives us that information of here's where you are, and that's what conditioning takes to make us a failure.
Yes.
And that place, whether it's physical or if it's seeing a piece of karma, it's turning that around to, thank you, what can I do to transcend that?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
Which is, okay, well, love, let's include this person in love, or let's get a program going to strengthen our backs, and let's be really, really supportive to the person who is embarking on this quest.
Yes,
that's
on this journey.
On this journey, uh-huh. And so if that's the movement into compassion, that's the movement into the mentor to support the person to do the work that assists us to move forward. And I think it was on the radio show yesterday where Rebecca was talking about the fact that when the self-hate is there, we can't do the work. And so to sidestep the self-hate and use the information that life is providing as a way to channel the energy towards doing the work that will make the difference.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes, yes. That all the self-hate is contributing is a barrier to getting the information from life that we need to recognize where we are and what our next steps are.
Yes, exactly so. And if it can get us to that place of deep emotion, like lots of emotion arising, we're going to fall for the reality of the place of victimhood. And to really be able to train to look at emotion as a way back into the ego system.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So as you were talking, I had this little image. I'm in California, and I want to go to the UK. And I suddenly realize that I'm in New York. And the voices start in about how this is a mistake and I didn't get to where I'm going and what is the matter with me and I'm never going to get there, right? And I could miss my plane if I didn't realize that being in New York is not a mistake if you're going from California to the UK. Right?
Yes.
It's a place you got to go through. And therefore, right, it's a very good place to be. You want to enjoy being there, learn everything you can about it, and find your gate.
Yes. Yes. Exactly so. We are always where we need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bizarre little image, but I think it's a perfect one for what happens to us. It would be ridiculous if we were to fall into that on a trip like that.
We would never
do that. And yet we do the equivalent of that time and time and time again when we're journeying from where we are to where we can see we choose to be and we wind up somewhere that is a legitimate stop on the journey, a legitimate place to be and explore and pay attention, and we get pulled, as you say, into a self-hate that causes us to miss the opportunity.
Yes. Yes. We have to go through.
Have to. And we want to, because again, I don't know if we have time, but I'll do it quickly. The Ram Dass, why would you meditate when you can take LSD? And the reason for that is because with LSD, you don't know where you are, you don't know how you got there, you don't know how to get back, and you don't know how to help anybody else get there or get back. You're useless. But if you do it through meditation, you've gone through every stop along the way. You know how everything works. So no matter where somebody is, you can say, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's that stop. Yeah, good. That's a good place to explore. That fits really nicely with blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, exactly so. Exactly so. Well, here's one of my favorite quotes. Love is not a matter of getting what you want. Quite the contrary. The insistence on always having what you want, on always being satisfied, on always being fulfilled, makes love impossible. Perhaps in this mystery of life we're engaged in, we could modify the expression cherche la femme to cherche la ego. The ego. In a sexist world, the woman is always to blame. In the world of expanding awareness, there's no blame. And when it comes to suffering, ego is the first best place to look for the cause. At center, we have what we want. We are satisfied and fulfilled, even with a lack of what we want, of satisfaction and of fulfillment, and we live in love. But ego is an attempt to exist outside life's love. Today, find the moments in which you can drop ego's demands, choose love, and realize love is all you truly want.
Not only is it all we need, it's all we want.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we always get what we want.
Yes, we certainly seem to choose it. Yes, exactly.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini.
All right. Take care, Sherry. Go happy, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.